is Chris, your host, and I'm recording this a little early this week because I have a full travel week, but that's okay. I'll still post it on time and on schedule. We've got an excellent show for you today. I interview Stosh, and he's a famous blind figure skater. He's a great guy. Just got to decide to do it, and we have a great talk. I answer a couple of questions and give you some can never remember in the UK. He surprised himself this weekend. He was going to retire from the Ironman. Kona is the Ironman. Kona's like the Boston Marathon of the marathon world. And on the 15th of November, which is the end of this week. So that's 3 weeks between this marathon and the Marine Corps Marathon I ran. And I'm just going to drive down, run my race, and drive back. This is a race. I'm going to get my 2011 Boston qualifier and my New Jersey marathon, maybe your mind halfway through. Once you're committed, you're committed. This is pretty much what I try to do at Marine Corps. The second strategy is the steady state strategy. With the steady state strategy, that race, you pick your target pace and you just stick to it. You set your Garmin and you just stick to it. It has a very high probability of success, but it's inherently boring. You know, it's like an accounting exercise, which I like my races to be a little bit more heroic than that. And the third strategy is a negative split, or finishing faster than you started, where you go out purposely slower than your race pace, and then you accelerate through the second half. And that's a wonderful way. If you ever run a race this way, it's a wonderful way to finish strong, but typically you won't. Excellent, happy finish line photos, and some great parts at the end where you're just passing everybody. So I tried number one, like I said, at Marine Corps, and I'm going to try number two, steady state at Atlantic City, because I know and I've done this before. My theory on doubling down is that you're already in shape. You might as well use it. I mean, I didn't hurt myself at the Marine Corps. I knew I didn't have the legs early, so I executed what I would like to call a controlled descent. And a controlled descent allows you to save your legs for another day. So you don't want to fall into the death shuffle for the last 6 to 10 miles, because the death shuffle is when you lose all your running mechanics. Things. You've gone out too fast and beat up your legs, and then you run in this totally alien pace for an hour and a half, you're going to beat up your legs worse, and that's how you cripple yourself with a race. So in a controlled descent, you're going to maintain your mechanics and just slow your pace down. And if you can't maintain your mechanics, just start power walking or walking until you can. You know, this way your legs aren't trashed after a race. You know, with a controlled descent, you can turn it into a long training run and schedule another race in 2 or 3 weeks. And Folks, for the equipment check, there's this great hat that I haven't been able to wear much, but now that it's getting darker, and it's very dark here, 5 o'clock, I just get in, I had to have the headlamp on. But in addition to the headlamp, if you're on the road, there's this great hat that Brooks makes. It's called the Nightlife Hat, and it's got a blinky light built right into the back of it, which, you know, the pros are you just hit that button, you don't have to have a blinky light. The hat has it built into it. The cons are that
I thought I had lost you there, Stosh.
Oh, I did. You know what happened? On the landline, I couldn't find the frickin' one. Oh, my goodness. The big old phone and the piece of crap phone. I don't know what I did, but anyway, I think I'm back.
All right, well, we're here. We're recording, so.
Cool.
As far as I know, we're recording, so that's funny. You couldn't find the number. All right, so with me here today is Stosh Seraphin. Which is an interesting last name, Seraphin. He is your title is Sensitive Energy Coach now, but you're famous for being a blind figure skater or blind skater from over the last 30 or 40 years, right? You've been doing this for a long time, right?
Yes, I started in 1968.
Yeah, I was watching some of your old videos back in from the 70s, and you're really quite talented.
Thank you. I look a little bit different, put a little bit more weight on. I was fit and trim in those days. I was pretty good looking, if I have to say so myself.
Yeah, except we all were cursed with having to wear those 70s clothes and that 70s hair.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you because I'm impressed and inspired by what you're doing here and what you've done over your career. Why don't you give us the introduction? Tell us who you are, what you did and do, and how you got to where you are.
Well, I started skating in 1968. I'll give you a little background first, if that's okay. It was a Saturday night, and I was playing Braille card games with my cousin and my brother, and my cousin was talking about her boyfriend who was at a local skating rink, and she said, I want you to go with me to the rink, and if you skate or not, that's up to you, but I want to make him jealous, pretend you're my boyfriend. So we trotted off to the rink, and that's how it happened. I put skates on, and the owner of the rink was like, I never saw a blind person here before. I don't know if you're going to be able to skate, but I'll help you out. So got on the ice, and for 2.5 hours, that's how long the public session lasted, the owner of the rink skated with me around and around. There were like 700 people. It was a very crowded rink, and it was right after the rink opened because Peggy Fleming won, I think, the gold medal in 1968, if I'm correct, and they had her there for the opening of the rink. So a few weeks later, I come trotting in, and he was so impressed that I didn't fall that he said, come back to club session next morning, which would have been a Sunday. So he said, I'm going to talk to the club, and I want you to skate. So I'm thinking, all right, whatever. So I come back, and I skated, and he's skating with me, and the club people were really nice, and I started to go on one foot without realizing it, and I turned from forwards to backwards, and he said, oh my goodness, you did a mohawk. You're really talented. And I'm thinking, this guy doesn't know anything from anything. So at the end of the session, he gave me a box, and it was a pair of brand new ice skates, and he said, someday you're going to be a professional. And I took them kind of literally. I thought, well, this is really cool. I like this. I like the feeling of, I don't know anything about skating, but I like the feeling of the flow. And I liked the feeling of just walking on ice because it just felt like I was home. That's so crazy, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's not crazy. I'll let you know a little secret. When I was a kid growing up, I was a skater too, but not a figure skater. I was one of those guys who carries a stick and hits people in the head with it. As people who know me, that's not going to be hard for them to imagine. And I was never very good at it because I had very bad hand-eye coordination, but I love to skate. And even now when I go out skating, it's like you're flying. It's a different experience.
Yeah, it's really different. And my eye hand coordination isn't so hot either, so I don't feel bad.
But you know? I can remember, you know, even after I stopped playing hockey, I'd go out in the ponds around here because we get, you know, the ponds freeze over.
Yeah.
If you get the right winter before it snows, they're like glass. and I'd just go out and skate in circles on, you know, essentially a 1 or 2 mile ice rink, right? And going really, really fast. It's like flying. It's cool.
Oh, it is. And you're a runner, so skating, you know, there's so many parallels between skating and running. It's absolutely amazing, you know,
yep.
How you get the momentum, and you actually get to skate. As runner, I'm going to assume that runners do the same thing. You get so efficient because you every step kind of accelerates you, and you get that momentum, and you just fly, and you get... Your feet almost feel like automatic pilots when I skate, and I'm kind of assuming runners feel the same thing when you're getting, you know, when you're at your pace or whatever.
Sure, it's like everything else. You have to get to a certain level before you get that yeah. automatonism, but you're absolutely right. Yeah,
and, you know, running has to do with success, too. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, when you're a runner, you're successful at your sport, and just like anything else, you go with, they always say go with the flow, and people kind of used to make fun of it, but more and more people are understanding, you know, this is not such a bad thing. When you feel the flow, you understand the lack of resistance, and you learn to use momentum as your friend rather than your enemy.
Yeah, exactly. Go with the flow has a significant meaning when you're talking about skating or running, which is don't fight your momentum, don't fight yourself.
And it's also fun.
Yep. So, I mean, you started doing this in the late 60s through the 70s. You know, that was back at a time where there wasn't a whole lot of inclusiveness in sports or society for people with challenges. I mean, what kind of walls did you have to break down and get through?
Oh, my goodness. I started... The first one was when I was requested to not skate at the summer session, one of my first rinks when I went to summer school for skating. They used to call it summer school, and we would skate there, and they were very upset that I skated on a session with jumpers and freestyles, because when I started to take lessons, I learned my basic single jumps except the axle. So we had the single waltz jump through the Lutz, and then axle's 1.5 turns. You take off forward and you land backwards. I learned all the jumps except the axle within 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, you know, and they're saying, you have talent. I'm like, right. And then when we got to the axle, it was more like a waxle. I wouldn't even land on a foot. I would land on any part of the body that would be anything but the foot. In other words, I was everywhere like a kamikaze pilot.
Yeah.
And it took several years till I got the understanding to do that, because there's no visual cues.
Right.
So those
so you don't know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, so they wanted I didn't want to say throw me out of the rink, but they requested me to leave, and a lot of the people at the rink went to bat for me, and I ended up, unfortunately, leaving that summer, but other rinks, you know, requested my presence. I don't know if it would... They didn't even know what political correctness is, and
yeah.
I'm not sure if I know today what it is, because the whole thing is I see myself as a little bit disabled, but not totally. You know, under any disability, there's ability, the way
sure.
I look at it. So that was just one of the issues that I had to face. And that happened, you know, numerous rinks until they realized I could stand on my own, I had good balance. And it was easier for skaters, especially in the olden days when we had fewer rinks. Now there's a rink almost on every corner, if you know what I mean. There's tons of them. And they had crowded sessions. I think we had like 30 to 40 people freestyle, doing the jumps and spins, pair skating, doing the lifts and throws, and dancers.
Yeah.
And that kind of mix is treacherous for sighted people. And they used to comment that they would love skating with me because I could hear where they were going, and I could somehow instinctively or intuitively maneuver my way around that I wouldn't get hurt. And it's amazing I didn't have very many skating accidents to this day.
Sure.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. When I'm at public skating, the worst thing is the little kids that come straight at you and try to take you out at the kneecaps.
And even on the freestyle sessions, when somebody's going, because they have a Lutz corner or they have a certain corner where they do all their jumps, if you're not looking, it can be treacherous, because I've witnessed some pretty terrible accidents, you know, skull
yeah.
fractures and, you know, people, you know, colliding in the blades, doing all kinds of nasty stuff, broken legs and, you know, whatnot. And I'm so fortunate that I've had very few injuries on the ice.
Right.
Know.
Right. Well, we were talking before, and I think this is a really cool understanding or topic you have, where I'm big on the mind-body connection. And I think I see you have that in your skating, where you can feel the ice. You can feel the blade. And you said you used to do that in piano as well, where you can sort of feel the piano.
Yes,
it's interesting because it's almost like you're forced to do that, where I have an out. I'm very visual, and if I close my eyes, I'll fall down, even though I have a pretty good sense of my body. You know, it's interesting, and you take that and you put that into your coaching now.
I put it in all my coaching. I teach my skaters that, and I teach my coaching clients I call them the off-ice people. People come in. I get referrals from other life coaches, sometimes other therapists, who we call them touch-ups. They'll just come for, I call it a sensitivity session, for lack of a better word. We teach them how to, you know, feel balance from the inside out, how to feel the feet. And I coined a phrase called braille blading, where I would ask them to touch the ice with their blades, or the floor if they're not a skater, so gently that they would imagine that they were brailing the floor or the ice. And I started it just because that was my way of doing it, never realizing it would become a model that a lot of people, the people that know me, use, and hopefully, you know, will be using it for other models like personal energy management skills, how to work with your energy efficiently, and especially for injury prevention issues. When you feel a balance, especially when you, not only if you jump, but when you walk, people that are newly blinded are a lot of times petrified of moving because they lost the sense of how to move.
Yeah. So you're teaching people to understand and appreciate the alternate physical feedback that the body's giving them?
Yes, because it actually becomes, when they practice it, they become the braille blading. We started with dots. You know, a braille is made up of dots, you know, 6 cells or whatever. Now they have 8 cell with the computer braille and everything. And they have the electronic braille displays where they, you know, it comes up on a screen, and if you want to delete it, the dots just disappear, which is so way cool. And they cost like $6,000 for a really good display. That's the cheaper ones. So, you know, you have all that going on. And to teach sighted people, I mean, the people that work with me have to have a sense of courage to try new things and to be somewhat receptive or open-minded to do any of this stuff, because it's totally new and there's limited research in this whatever you call it, field. But it does connect you with the mind and the body, because Chris and I, we were talking before you started the taping that 90% of sports is mental and 10% is the real work, and I believe that, because what I try to do is to decrease the blood, sweat, and tears business.
Right, and my comment was that because people tend to focus on the old gym class metaphor of no pain, no gain, they tend to front-load the effort, and a lot of that effort is misdirected if you don't understand the form, the mechanics, and what your body's telling you.
Yeah, it's a mismanagement of energy, because I use this statement, feel first and form follows, especially when you're just, you know, starting a skater from scratch, and a lot of skaters always want to skate with their hands out, and I'm notorious for doing this myself, because I can't see, and I'm instinctively going to feel for, I'm going to not feel, but grope where I'm going to go, you know, and then when you get the body involved, the body actually goes a little, like in running, it goes a little bit ahead of your feet. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And you get that feeling of you're not going to just feel with your hands. Your whole self is going in the direction you're going. Well, if somebody can't see, that was a challenge for me, because when you would do transitions, when you go from one circle to another, or when you want to, you know, go into one jump or one in footwork, straight line or diagonal footwork, how to do that and stay connected from where you went to where you want to go. And it's like the body has to, just like when you throw a ball, it's got to somehow intuit where you're going to send it.
Yep.
And
well, I would think that would be real hard in figure skating, because you use your arms for so much of the momentum gathering.
You do, but when you use your body, your center, your core, you get it gentle enough that it becomes actually stronger, if that makes any sense. There's like an elastic, a pliability to it, and a flexibility and a resilience to it, because it teaches you, especially when you get from the feet first, when you do the blade work, it connects you from the bottom up. You get the feet and the knees and the hips, and you get the ankles, because when you get the ankles relaxed enough, the hips and everything else kind of melt in together. So even if you're doing, say, a low move, am I losing you yet?
Nope.
When you do a low move, you still have some suspension. You know, you don't totally collapse, because there's a big difference between, you know, collapsing. And you know, if you can see somebody moving, whether they're dancing or skating or running, sometimes runners, I call it do a lazy run, where the part of the body doesn't want to go with them, and it's
sure.
a lot harder to do.
Yeah, you know? I understand what you're saying.
And my credibility, I hope people don't think that I'm arrogant, and I don't see at all. I was blinded from the pure oxygen business in the incubator. I was 2 months preemie. They thought I was going to croak within, like, the first 3 days. I died 3 times, and they brought me back, and I was in an incubator for a month and all that good stuff. But I survived. And, you know, here I am today in 2009 and still feeling fine.
Yeah, great stuff. So I understand from looking at your stuff that you have a book out there, too. Any website or other information that you want to give people?
The website they can look at is www.stashkate.com. That's StashSkate.com. And the book is called You Can't Get It Because You Already Got It, meaning that somewhere in all of us we have the tools. And we just have to use what we already got to get more of what we want. It's just a little book, and I don't know why. It was just inspiring. My friend Ruth Ann Wood, the co-author of our book, decided that we would play with this and do it, and it's been out for maybe 2 years.
Have some fun, right?
We're having a lot of fun with it because it's given me a door opening into, like, schools and, you know, speaking engagements and stuff like that, because kids seem to like it, and especially the idea you can't get what you already got. That doesn't mean you can't get more, but it's the idea that somewhere in all of us is something that's whole, that's good, that's perfect. Perfect doesn't mean it's not going to grow. Perfect means it's the potential to keep perfecting what you are and what you want to be and to go for your goals. And
and perfect for you is different than perfect for somebody else.
Oh,
and your point being that is within you to be discovered.
Absolutely, because I can't discover Chris is perfect, nor Chris can't discover Stasha's. But when we can talk about our own inner ways that work, because I'm really a big believer in work with what works and the other stuff gets dealt with as it comes up. I'm not a big believer in picking a scab off of a wound to make it get better, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean? No pain, no gain thing. Because
right.
A lot of skaters, you know, get in the habit of, like, you want to force a jump to happen. And I'm like, well, you know, if you have good edges and you have good stroking, the jump is going to be a follow-through of the edge in the air. I liken it to a stroke in the air because your whole body... It's like, did you ever climb rope?
No.
Oh, it's a mess. Well, climbing rope is sort of like, you know, you don't just do it with your hands and your feet. Your core actually assists you in getting up there. Well, that's what a jump does. If you use the whole body as a unit, it will actually assist you in getting up, so you don't have to pressurize your feet so much. The jump will actually uplift you, and we're bipedal, you know, so what comes up must come down and all
right.
that good stuff. But it's how you go up and it's how you come down is the crucial key. Like Dick Button always says, the takeoff is the most treacherous part of a jump. Well, he's so right on with that, because if you have a good takeoff, you're going to pretty much land.
Right. So it's all one continuous act, not a jump and a landing.
Yep. And there's, you know, and a lot of sighted people, and including myself, when I first started, would separate everything, like, and I never got the idea of unit. And my skating coaches and all the people that I did modern dance with, they would just say, someday you'll get the connection. And I'm like, well, I hope I live long enough to find it, because I'm a Virgo, so I love details, and I'm not the most patient person. But it took me 40 some years to cultivate patience and to realize the wisdom of being patient and being persistent and not giving up on a goal that maybe on a Tuesday doesn't feel so good, but by Wednesday or Thursday, it's going to be better.
Tell me you know, you've been doing this for a long time. What's your biggest learning? What would you leave people with if you had this audience of a couple thousand people we might be talking to right now? What would be the message you'd want them to remember to take away from this?
Well, I use skating as a metaphor of my life, and if anybody who does any kind of sports, whatever you're good at, you know, be the best you can be, because if you compete with yourself in a way that's not going to hinder your growth or hurt yourself, beating yourself doesn't mean, you know, I'm going to beat myself over the head with anything. It's like always having a challenge that you want to overcome, and you don't have to be obsessive with it, but just look at the meaning of what you're doing and why you're doing it, because we're all inner champions, as the way I see it anyway. We all have our little place where we're shining, and to get that out into more areas of our lives, more aspects of our lives, yeah, we can do that. And there is a lot of success in that kind of attitude for me anyway.
Great. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of our rope here, Stash. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Hope everything goes well this year for you as well. What do you got coming up? What's your schedule?
Well, I have I'm introducing some new product lines in the future with some other people about personal energy management. So that's going to take a little while to get going, but we're in the throes of that. And I have a little CD that I'm working on. I don't see you, but I sense you. I wrote the music, and I did the voiceover for the song, and I skated to it years ago. And now there's requests of this song and words to come on a CD so I can, you know, share it with people and get it out. It's only about 2 minutes, and we're maybe going to do some videos, some DVDs, you know, about skating and how therapeutic skating is, not just from a competitive point of view, but a life skills learning. Because any sports, it teaches you more about life than the actual sport that you're doing.
Yeah.
The sport is just maybe the springboard, if that's a word.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, it's just the metaphor, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's the learning is in the journey.
Yep.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for your time.
And you be well and have a great year, and keep us posted as to what's going on.
All right. I'll see you later.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.